Welcome. Keep coming on in. Come join us and find a spot. It's wonderful to see so many faces. I know the impact that Joe and Becca have had in the ministries we've worked together, and the other people that you have known them, you've invested in them, or they've invested in you, and to see that we've come to a point like tonight where just the thrill of seeing the doors that God has opened and the opportunity with 20 schemes for them is just marvelous. And truth be told, you know, as we move from this point, I mean, this is a service, God serving us again, reminding us, because primarily we're not just here remembering stories together about ways that Joe and Becca have either been a part of our lives or that we're investing in, or those kinds of things, but primarily we're here because God has done an incredible, incredible work. He has slowly, consistently led them together to find 20 schemes. You know, they learned about it by other people they know going to a missions conference and bringing back a flyer. And, oh, this is a possibility. And you just watch as God takes something like that and has moved it to the point to where they're ready to partner with people on the ground in some hard places to plant churches, to minister needs, and most importantly, to declare that Jesus Christ deserves worship from every square inch of this world that we're in. And so for the next hour or so, we are here to give praise to God, to sing and make sure that it is declared among all of our voices how much praise he deserves, that he has done a great work. Specifically, we are here as people that are recognizing and honoring that Jesus Christ is God's declaration of what's going to happen in salvation. Every time we hear about him, every time we sing something about him, we're talking more and more of what God has decided to do. And then Joe and Becca are going to take that message of the gospel and just press it into every relationship that they have. And of course, the other part that comes from this, right, is the fact that here is a body of people who are responsible. This night is, for one thing, for us, reminds us that we are responsible to pray for their needs, to pray for the fruitful advancement of the gospel where they're at and where they're working, to plead with the Lord to have mercy on them as they go through every struggle that will pop up, some of them normal, some of them absolutely beyond what we're going to imagine in our stateside experience. We're here to remember that we are like many missionaries before have talked about, we are like a group of people holding a rope as they make particular sacrifices to go advance the gospel across the face of this globe. So you're going to hear from, we have Matthew Spandler Davison with us from Louisville. He's representing, we'll talk more about when I introduce him later, but he's with 20 Schemes. He'll be able to give insights into some of the things that they are particularly looking at, thinking about as they want to advance the gospel in these schemes, in these project areas in Scotland. And so he's here to join us to explain more of that, to give us more of an insight of what it might be. But we are here together because God has called the people for himself, because he's working that gospel everywhere. So I just want to pray for us to start, and then Jeremy will lead us in song. So would you bow your heads with me? Great God and Father, you have made this world for yourself, and every heart and every mind will not find its peace, will not find its contentment, will not find its place until it sees the glory of Christ, until every face properly reflects Jesus Christ in everything that we do, every love that we have, every desire of our bones. So please use this evening of us singing together, of us coming alongside, of us remembering that you desire for us to announce the great news of Jesus Christ across the globe. We are thankful that your gospel has already reached us in the farthest corners of the earth. We are those who are not in Jerusalem, Judea, but we are the ends of the earth, and now we are sending as well. It is a glory to just be a part of what you are doing. And love compels us, Father, to send even those we love most, even those who are most talented and most gifted among us, to go and tell the good news everywhere. So now fill our hearts with whatever it looks like to grieve well of losing Joe and Becca and Kesed, as well as full rejoicing that you are great and you deserve to be praised. And so we pray all of this for the glory of Jesus Christ in his name, and so that his name becomes a banner waved across the nations. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Please take a seat.
Or if you read a Bible on your phone, you can get out John 14 now. I'll be reading verses 8 through 14. This is to prepare us for the commissioning message. It'll be from this passage. So if you want to follow along with me again, that's John 14, reading verses 8 through 14. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is God's word.
Now it's my privilege to get to share a little bit about Matthew Spandler Davison before he comes up here and gives us a message, hopefully sending out Joe and Becca and Kesed in a way that honors God and just reminds us what this is about. So let me just share, at least he's on this official 20 Schemes webpage. Let me start at least by just sharing you what's written there. That Matthew, he's originally, as you'll hear in his voice, it won't be a Midwestern accent. He's originally from Scotland, and he graduated there before coming to Southern to do some doctrinal work, finish his MDiv and his doctorate over here. He came to faith at the age of 16 after hearing the gospel at a Scottish Baptist church. And then prior to any type of ministry, he worked in the Scottish Parliament, which you can always share what that looks like and how that might be different than some other types of political engagement over here. But Matthew is married to Tracy and has two daughters. He's a church planter and one of the pastors of Redeemer Fellowship Church in Bardstown, Kentucky. And he loves to encourage and train other church planters. And just in the short interaction that we had before he came up here, that seems to be very, very clear. Not only is he used to coming and helping churches as they send couples and being parts of services like this, but tomorrow he drives down to Midwestern Baptist Seminary down in Kansas City to encourage students there for looking for other people that might go, looking at other people he can send, recruit, and push to take the gospel into the Schemes of Scotland. God has just, it seems like, put him in a perfect place of being here, of being able to also know what it's like in those ministries there, and being able to walk both worlds, and has it seems like, done a fantastic job of preparing Joe and Becca for thinking about what that ministry may look over there. So, Matthew, I just want to encourage, come up and share the word with us and help us think through this.
Well, good evening. It's good to be with you tonight, and certainly excited to see what the Lord is going to be doing with Joe and Becca as he prepares them for the work in Scotland. It's a thrill for me to be able to get to see this. 6 years ago, we founded 20 Schemes, and at that point, there was nobody going, no churches being planted. And today, we have 6 church planting teams and about 40 full-time workers on the ground in Scotland. So we are thrilled at what God is doing. Only God can do a work such as this. So this morning, I was preaching in Louisville, Kentucky, and at the end of the sermon, older lady came to the front and said, "Well, I understood about half of what you said, and that part was good." And so that reminded me that I just need to, when I'm not at my own church, always need to speak a little bit slower and try to enunciate my words a little bit clearer so you can understand what I'm saying. So if you lose me, just wave at me, okay? Let's pray. Father, what a privilege and a joy it is to be in this place at this time tonight. For it's in moments like this that we are reminded that you are a sovereign God, that you care and love those who you determine to call to yourself. And the Father, you would even send people from the other side of the world to come and preach a gospel to those who do not yet know you. So Lord, this is all about you. This is about your glory, your worth, the fame of our King Jesus. So Lord, we pray that in this night, this very sacred act of laying on hands and sending out your workers, that we would be forever mindful that you are the one who is sending. And so Father, we love you and we trust you and we declare that you are worthy. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. No doubt, Joe and Becca have shared with you some of the state of Scotland today in terms of its Christian heritage. Scotland, many people would think, would be a rich nation, would think of Scotland as being a Christian nation. When you think of sending missionaries, perhaps Scotland doesn't come up as high on your list of places that you'd send missionaries to. And yet the reality is that Scotland today, only 3% of people in Scotland would call themselves evangelical Christian. You know, as Matt shared earlier, I became a Christian when I was 16. Growing up, I didn't know a single Christian. In a high school of 1,000 students, I never met a single Christian. Nobody in my immediate family were Christian. It's such a Christianity in Scotland today. It's not even post-Christian. It's almost pre-Christian. It's like people in my generation are beginning to discover Christianity for the first time as something new, something different. As our parents' generation, our grandparents' generation rejected it, rejected Christianity. And so where Joe and Becca are going, they're going to a community where most people they meet would have never met a living Christian until they meet Joe or Becca. And that's the reality of life in Scotland today. But we know and we trust that God is still working, and we see evidence of that even here, that God will build his church. And God will call people to himself as he chooses to do so. But Scotland's got such a rich Christian heritage. It is known as a nation that has historically sent out missionaries. So some of the most famous missionaries of modern history have come from Scotland. Think of David Livingstone taking the gospel into the interior of Africa. Alexander Mackay taking the gospel to Uganda. Let me share with you something that Alexander Mackay said. He was a young missionary sent from Scotland in the 1800s to Uganda. He said this: "It is no sacrifice, as some think, to come here as pioneers of Christianity and of civilization. I would not give my position here for all the world. A powerful race has to be won from darkness to light. Men have to be taught to love God and love their neighbor. The slave must be set free, wisdom implanted, above all true wisdom taught, which alone can elevate man to a son of God. Who would not willingly engage in such a noble work and consider it the highest honor on earth to be called to it. Or consider these words from David Livingstone, who was sent out from Glasgow, the very place that Joe and Becca will be moving to. Sent out from Glasgow to go to Africa. Livingstone wrote this in his journals. If we wait until we run no risk, the gospel will never be introduced to the interior. Remember us in your prayers, that we grow not weary in well-doing. He who died for us and whom we ought to copy did more for us than we can do for anyone else. He endured the contradiction of sinners. We should have grace to follow in his steps. Death alone will put a stop to my effort. We worship a sending God. For God the Father sent his one and only Son, that whoever might believe in him should have everlasting life. And as God called us to himself through believing and trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, God is now sending us to continue in that work of making Jesus known. This text that Joe read in John 14, if you just turn there again, I just wanted to see a few points that we kind of pick up from this text. Here we have the disciples. They're in the upper room. You got this picture of Philip and Thomas, and they're really concerned. They sense that all of a sudden things are taking a pretty different turn, that Jesus is preparing them for his departure. He's preparing them for his death. And Philip and Thomas, they're just confused. They're discouraged. They feel like they just don't know what's happening. Things shouldn't be happening this way. And so they say to Jesus, verse 8, Lord, said Philip, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. In other words, what Philip is saying is look, we want to go with you. We want to go wherever you're going. Just take us with you. Jesus said, have I been among you all this time without your knowing me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I speak not on my own, but the Father who lives in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. The disciples are just struggling to continue to believe, to continue to have faith when it seems like everything around them is falling apart. This is manhunt for Jesus. They feel themselves that they are being threatened, that they're huddled together in this upper room and they know that their life is on the line. They've been with Jesus now for 3 years and they've seen extraordinary miracles. They've seen the crowds come to them. Jesus bring food down from heavens, the celebrity status of Jesus, and they've seen the highs and now they come to the low and they feel like it's all over. Is this it? Is this what it's come to? You're just going to leave us? Just going to leave us here? And what Jesus wants these men to know at this time is that this is not the end. This is not the end. This is just the beginning. For look at what he says in verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. He wants them to know that this is just the beginning, that there is work for them to do. They're thinking about, what about us? What's next for us? And they can feel stuck. They feel discouraged. But Jesus tells them, look, all you need to do right now is just keep believing. And I know it's hard, but just keep believing. It's what I'm asking you to do. It's going to be a struggle. Even these next few days, he knows that they're going to see some confusing and horrific things as they see their Savior beaten, as they see him turned over from the Jewish high court, as they see the Roman authorities hand him over to be crucified. And they're going to stand there and everything about them is going to want to quit believing in the very words of Jesus. And he says, look, the most important thing right now is that you keep believing. Keep believing. Because those who believe in me will do the works that I do. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and is to do the very work that he's called us to do. It's interesting, Jesus says, he doesn't say, keep believing in me and I will come alongside you as you do your work. No, he's saying, keep believing in me and you will do the works that I do. You'll do the work that I do. Jesus speaking directly to the disciples. And he's saying, look, your mission, the very reason why you're here, is that you would do the work that I do. He saved them for this work. And so when we think about sending Joe and Becca to Scotland, now this isn't an extraordinary thing that they're doing. Their mission is no different from yours or mine. That we who believe are called to do the very work that Christ does, to glorify his Father and to reveal himself as the Son of God. He calls us to do this same work. And he knows that for these men, that their struggle is going to be to keep believing. But he says, don't lose hope now. Don't get discouraged now. Press on. Press on. Keep believing. And so the greatest encouragement we can give to Joe and Becca is to keep their eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep believing. Now, when you move to a new place, there's a whole lot of things that can be discouraging, startling, disorientating. Now, I've lived in the States now for over 10 years, and I'm still living in culture shock. Now, there's nothing about life here to me that makes sense or feels familiar. Everywhere I go, I'm an outsider. There's things here that just happen differently. You know, and you drive through everything here. Never understood that. You know, I tried that once, and I tried to give an order at a drive-thru, and they didn't have a clue what I was saying. And so I mentally just drove up, and this girl just stared at me and smiled and said, I don't know what you said. I said, I'll come in. You know, for Joe and Becker, as they move to Scotland, there's going to be all kinds of culture shock, and it's going to be a disorientating experience to be away from friends and family and everything that they hold dear and make sense to them and places that feel familiar. And they go into a place, the schemes of Scotland, where there's hostility to the very gospel they come to preach. These are hard places that they're going to. The challenge is this: believe in me. Keep believing. Don't lose hope. Don't lose confidence that this is my work. Keep believing. Persevere in the faith. And that's true for you as well. Friends who are having to say goodbye. Family members that are watching a son, a daughter, a grandchild move away. The call upon you is the same. Keep believing. Keep believing, because Christ is worthy. He is the one who is calling us. And your work is no less significant than theirs. For your work is to encourage them, that they might press on. Your work is to make their work a joy and to delight in their work with them. Keep believing. Keep trusting. And you'll do the works that I do. You'll do the works that Jesus does. That's what's incredible about this. We're not sending Joe and Becca to go and take up a job somewhere. They're stepping out to do the very work that Jesus Christ was sent to do, to glorify his Father in heaven, to make him known, to reveal the glory of Christ, to call people out of darkness into light, to put him on display so that those enslaved in their sin might believe. This is the work of Christ, and this is the work he calls all of us to do. Our job is simple. Just got to believe. Just got to keep having faith. Keep trusting. Don't lose heart. Whenever I speak to a missionary that's going overseas to a place that's unfamiliar, maybe feels a little bit threatening, one thing I'm always reminded of is this. There is no safer place to be on earth than in the will of God. And if God is sending you, it doesn't matter where he's sending you, there is no safer place on earth than walking in the very will of your Father. And so you may have doubts about safety or how they're going to do, how they're going to survive, how they're going to make it. They're going where the Father who loves them is sending them. Keep believing. Keep trusting in him. He's the one who's sending. And so here is Jesus saying to his disciples who are afraid and they're terrified and they're losing hope and they're losing confidence. And what does he say to them? Believe in me. More than ever right now, believe in me. This is what Christians do. Christians, we believe in the very word of God that Jesus is who he says he is. And because we believe, we do the works that he sent us to do. So it defines us. Is that how you look at your life? Is that how you look at your life as a mom, as a dad, as a husband, as a wife, as a teacher going to work tomorrow? Is that how you consider yourself? That because you believe in Jesus Christ, you are doing the very work of Jesus Christ. And this is good work. So it's easy, isn't it, sometimes to look at a missionary couple being sent overseas and said, I wish my life could amount to something like that. The truth is, if God has sent you where you are going tomorrow, the work he's calling you to do is no less significant than the work he's calling them to do. Keep trusting. Our life now is about making Christ so obvious, so real, so beautiful, so that people might see your faith and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's our work. But look, he goes on. He says, so believe in me and do the works I do. And then he says, and you will do even greater works. You will do even greater works than this. He not only says that we get to do his work, but he says you'll do greater work. What does that even mean? How can my life, how can your life, how can the life of this church be greater than the very ministry of Jesus when he was ministering on earth with his disciples? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who turned water into wine, who healed the leper, who gave the blind man sight, the one who fed the thousands, who calmed the storm, who walked on water, the one who called the dead man to walk out of his tomb. How can our works amount to anything close to that? And yet Jesus says that our work is greater. It doesn't look like it sometimes. When we examine our lives, you're like, this? I mean, have you seen our church? Have you seen us? How is this greater? I just want to go back to those times. I want to walk where Jesus walked and be where Philip and Thomas were and to see what they saw and to experience what they experienced. And Jesus is telling us here, no. What we experience in this moment, in this hour, is greater than anything they experienced. How is that so? The works that Jesus was doing was pointing them to the cross. It was pointing them to a tomb. The work that Jesus did on earth, it bore fruit of some hundreds, a few thousand. But after Jesus died on the cross and rose from that tomb, it would unleash a movement of the gospel power that would be unquenched forever until Christ returns. The work that we get to be a part of in our lifetime, in this moment, is greater in power because we speak to a cross and a risen Jesus. We point people to a Jesus who has risen from a grave. We point people to a Jesus who is setting free men and women from their tombs every day of our life. The work that we do is greater because it's greater in its scope. The work that these men witnessed was limited in its geography, and yet the work of the gospel today is boundless in its geography. That no matter where you go on earth today, there is evidence of a movement of God that is unstoppable. It's extraordinary that Joe and Becca are moving to Schemes of Scotland, where 6 years ago, 20 schemes was just an idea. We knew that 40% of Scotland's population lived in housing schemes, and less than 0.5% of people living in a housing scheme were evangelical, born-again, Bible-believing Christians. That most schemes had no gospel-preaching church. And yet today, by the grace of God, there are 6 church planting teams, 3 new churches that have been started, that missionaries are being sent into these communities. Why? Because we're about greater works. That we believe, no matter where we go on earth, that where the gospel is preached in power. And that those who hear it, if they are of the Lord, that they will come and they will surrender to King Jesus. This is a great work that we're a part of. It's unstoppable. And this great work, it produces great fruit. Millions and millions of people from every tribe and tongue and nation, from every generation to generation, will come and bow the knee to King Jesus. Philip and Thomas, they couldn't conceive of that. They couldn't conceive of what we see. And yet we live in this hour. That we can send missionaries from this place. A church started here in this community that is sending missionaries to the other side of the world. And we get to see, we get to partake in a greater work. And it reminds us of the glory and the greatness of our God. He's unstoppable. He is unstoppable. You see, all those miracles that they considered to be great, the walking on water, the calming of the storm, the raising of the dead, they were signs. They were indicators along the way, pointing to something greater. You know what they were pointing to? This. That men and women from every tribe and tongue would come to see Jesus Christ as the living God. That you, who were once dead in your tomb, were called forth and you came alive. That you, who were once blind and could not see, now have eyes to see. That you, who were once deaf and could not hear, now hear the very word of God as a sweet, sweet sound. We are doing greater works than these men could ever have conceived of. He is not done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. You see, we can look at our lives and we can feel so inadequate. We can feel so weak. We can feel like our lives, it doesn't amount to much. And yet we're reminded today in this word that your life is about the very work of Jesus. The very words of Jesus, the very touch and feel of Jesus, his name being made known. Your life is about sending missionaries to go and make known this Jesus. He's not done with us yet. In fact, the truth is, this is a great truth. If you are a Christian today, your best days are always ahead of you, never behind you. You see, when you come to moments like this, and there's all kinds of emotions, sending a son, a friend, a daughter, send them away, and you wonder, you know, where do we go from here? The church getting used to sending out our best. And you're like, what's for us? The truth is, if you are in Christ, no matter how old or frail, no matter how weak or feeble you may feel, Our best days are always ahead of us. They're always ahead of us. We never look back to greater days. We always look forward to greater days yet to come. Because everything we do on this day points forward to a day that is yet to come, when Jesus Christ will return and usher in his bride from every corner of his earth. And we get to say, we were part of that. But there's more. Verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. It keeps getting better. Not only does Jesus say, believe in me and you'll do my works, but then he says, believe in me and you'll do even greater works. But now he says, and believe in me and I will give you all that you need to do my work. Look, this verse is often ripped out of context and used to mean whatever you want it to mean. I mean, people can take this verse and say, hey, whatever I ask from God, he'll give it to me, like some kind of magic formula. You know, if I just have enough faith and just muster up enough energy and pray, and God will give me whatever I think I need. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, look, you are called to do a work, a greater work, and whatever you need to do that work, he will give to you. And that's good news for us. Because we're sending Joe and Becca to a place where it's going to be hard. And there's going to be struggle along the way. And there's going to be just the sense of loss and grieving of family and friends. And there's going to be a sense of loneliness and the disorientation of a new place. But there's also going to be the need just for other people to support them financially while they're on the mission field. And we can so often feel, I don't know if I've got what it takes to do this. And Jesus says, well, I've got good news. It's not about you. It's all about him. Whatever you need to do the very work that I've called you to do, you've got it. Because you've got Jesus. And he is all we need. That no matter where you go, he goes with you. And that if you're going to do his work, then he'll provide all you need for that work. And so that's a word of great hope for us. You know, we have no reason to worry or fear. Because whatever you need, if you do my works, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. I will grant it to you. This is good, glorious news. That if we are in Christ, then we have access to the Father. We have access to his word. We're led by his Holy Spirit. We're provided with other Christians who provide for us. Now, that's not just true for missionaries. That's true for all of us. Because we too can feel in the battles that we're fighting, in the ministry and the mission that God's called us to, we can sometimes feel inadequate, so weak, overcome by a sense of shame. And Jesus says, look, if you believe in me, I will give you work to do. It'll be my work, greater works. In fact, I will give you whatever you need. He doesn't measure you up and think you have what it takes. No. He takes bankrupt beggars who come before a king and say, I have nothing. And he says, go. And go and do my works. For you bring nothing. You come to Christ and you receive everything. He becomes our greatest treasure. Every battle with sickness, every battle against temptation, every sense of failure or struggle with depression, every time we feel inadequate, go to Jesus. Receive the gifts that he has given us. Lean on him. Believe in him. Trust him. Because ultimately, he is the one at work. Because it's all about him. You have not come to this point in your life by accident. We believe in a sovereign God who's moved masterfully in each one of our lives, and he's brought you to this place in your life for a purpose, that you might do his works. And so you can look at your life and you can examine your life and you can think, I don't know if I amount to very much. But the truth is, if you believe in Christ and you have faith in him, then you are exactly where he would have you be. And if you believe in him, then he will provide exactly what you need to press on in the work that he's called you to do. Our work, it's kind of simple. Pray and believe. Keep trusting. We can confuse it so much. We can complicate this thing. We can complicate it with programs and degrees and qualifications, and we can complicate it with activities and buildings and budgets, but it's quite simple. Jesus says, one command, just believe in me. Just have faith in me. Just trust me. And you will do greater works. He's not done with you yet. What we're seeing tonight is evidence that God is doing a special work in this church, in your family, in the lives of Joe and Becca, but more than that, we believe that he's doing a special work in the nation of Scotland. You know, I walk through my hometown in Aberdeen, and I can walk past countless of church buildings that lie empty and derelict. Many of them have been converted into nightclubs, bars, apartments, office buildings. I can so easily walk down the streets of Aberdeen and think, God, where are you? Where are you? You know, seems like the church is so small. You know, in the 1950s, over half of Scotland's population attended church. Church attendance in Scotland halved every decade since 1950. It's been this cataclysmic decline in Christianity in Scotland. And we can step back and we say, God, where are you? You know what happened? The church stopped believing. They stopped believing in the gospel. They stopped trusting in the power of the gospel to save. And a church that stops believing and proclaiming the gospel ceases to be a church. And so I look at those empty churches, and it's not a legacy of the lack of God at work. It's a reminder of faithless Christians who quit believing. But when I walk down the streets of Aberdeen today, you know what I'm aware of more than anything? It's that God is not done with them yet. That where churches have failed and their doors have closed, God will rise up out of a remnant, a new generation, and he'll send out from all four corners of the earth men and women who will proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord. And the church of Christ will rise triumphant again in that land. You know, as Christians, we never stand from a place of weakness. We always stand in a position of strength and power. And so we don't walk into the schemes of Scotland. And we're not sending Joe and Becca into a scheme to Scotland where nobody knows the name of Jesus. And they don't need to feel weak. But they go in power. They go sent to do the very work that Jesus does. And whatever they need, he gives to them to do it. And so we have a holy confidence that Jesus will do a greater work through them and for his glory. Because of their faithfulness and because of yours. So keep believing. Amen. Let's pray. Father, help us to believe. Help us to keep trusting you in our battles against temptation, in our battles against discouragement, in our seasons of despair, when we're so overcome with a sense of shame or guilt, a feeling of inadequacy. Oh, Father, point us again to the finished work of Jesus. Oh, that we might believe and that we might see greater works. And, oh, God, I pray over Joe and Becca that they might be a man and a woman of great faith. And Lord, I pray that even though they may lack much over the years to come, I pray that they would never lack faith. Lord, help them. Strengthen their work. Do it for your glory, we ask. For Jesus Christ is worthy. In his name we pray. Amen.
Well, one of the reasons that we get to go serve in Scotland, leaving Friday, is because of all of you here tonight. And so really sweet. And I also promise a brief part of tonight's service is me getting to offer a word of gratitude to all of you for being here, but also for being the people who are sending us there. So I just want to take a moment so that face-to-face I could offer the thankfulness that's in Becca and I's heart to everyone here. It's been 8 months ago now that we accepted this position and started fundraising, and you have to know the first thing on our hearts is that many of you have made financial sacrifices to help send us there. And God blessed us. That was a very, very fast and joyful process for us. And we're overwhelmed with gratitude that you all made that sacrifice. God stewarded that money. He stewarded the time for prayers to you. And you chose to devote those to us instead of other worthy causes. God did not command Christians to be generous to me and Becca. He commanded Christians to be generous, but not to us. And you chose in love to partner with us and to help send us in that way with any prayer you've offered. And it's because of you that that happened. It's because of your generosity that God put in your hearts that we're able to go on Friday. And so we have to thank you for that. But I also want to thank you because what's happening on Friday began a long time before, a really long time before January. We have family here tonight who have loved us for a long time. We have churches and other Christians who've been a part of our life for a long time, and you are the spiritual atmosphere that God used to draw us to the gospel, and to draw us in love to take that gospel to another people. I've never been one to feel a strong internal call to know that I was called to missions, and I don't think that that's a wrong thing. I think it's good if people have that. But one thing that that particular view misses is the corporate nature of how God used thousands of interactions with you to help send us there. So every time that you walked in obedience instead of disobedience and we got to see your love for Christ, you were shaping and taking our hearts toward the gospel and helping us love Christ more. Every time we heard your voice singing a hymn, you were encouraging our hearts toward that gospel. Every time you preached a sermon, you're shepherding our hearts toward that sermon. Every time you led us in a Bible study, you were the soil that God used, sovereignly used thousands of interactions to take us to this point. And we are so thankful for that. The last thing I just want to thank you guys for is that you are a body. You've been a body to us, and this is a painful part of being a body because we are breaking away from you now. And I want to say thank you for enduring the pain of sending us to Scotland for 2 years. It's a hard thing for us to say bye to you after knowing you all this time. And we want to say thank you that you have not weakened our knees. You have not used words to keep us from going with ambition to Scotland. You've used your words to encourage us and to send us in strength because you believe that the glory of the Lamb that we sung about is worthy of that kind of sacrifice. So we're not the only ones sacrificing. We know that you're sacrificing and feeling some pain too. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you're seeing with spiritual eyes that there is an eternal goal greater than us just getting to be with one another. So I'm thankful for that. I've been thinking, it's been stuck in my head. I even got made fun of it for a little bit because it's an old hymn, but it's been stuck in my head a lot recently. The chorus goes, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be." And I just want to refresh and remind you of that too now, that if you are, as you're feeling that pain, the pain of sending us, I want you to think of that day though, because that's the day when we will all be reunited again. There won't be another goodbye because the family members that we have in Scotland will have been brought in, and it'll be just time for family reunion. And this kind of pain that's necessary now, it will be no more. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And remember, the next line says, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. So don't just let your hearts now feel the pain of us leaving, but remember the real joy there will be that we who are united in Christ will finally see the Christ that we've put our faith in and are living our lives in obedience to. What a day of rejoicing that will be. So let me just thank you again. Thank you even just for sacrificing your evening to be here and help us feel so loved by surrounding us and helping send us off. And I want to welcome up our pastor from Atchison, Riverbend Bible Church. He's going to lead now in the commissioning prayer as we close the service.
Joe, if we could have you and Becca come now and sit here, and then in just a few moments, as you come up, I'm going to have them kneel. And if Kesed's able to come, that's great. Have them kneel here facing the cross of Christ. And we, behind them, with our hands on them, praying for them. So we'll do that in just a few moments. I just want to take a moment to thank God publicly in this gathering for the friends that he's given me and Joe and Becca, for the intern that he gave me as a pastor in Joe, for then a deacon on staff, but mostly for just a co-worker in the gospel of Jesus Christ, someone who has helped me gain a greater grip on the gospel in my life, and I praise God for that. I can't imagine what an immense privilege this is to lead this time with all of you in praying for Joe and Becca. I'm going to take, in a few moments, we're going to recognize the churches, and just because this is about the establishment and the expansion of Christ's church. And we want to recognize the churches that are represented here, as well as you as individuals able to come up and pray for Joe and Becca. But let me just take a brief moment to mention the messages that we're sending when we lay hands on them tonight. There's certainly more than this, but could we reflect briefly on four messages? The first message is affirmation. We're saying to Joe and Becca that we see God's hand in your life, that you are well prepared for what you're about to take on. And we hope that when you're discouraged and want to quit and give up, that you'll remember that there were so many people, hundreds here and many behind them, who said that we believe God has led you to here. So there's affirmation. And then we also want to send the message of provision, that we're saying we commit to support you, that we are purposing tonight not just to pray tonight, but to pray for you in the days and weeks and years to come. We want to support you so that you can devote yourself to building relationships, to seeing the church established, particularly right away in a place called, I think, Ballarnark. I'm working on it. We want you to be free to do that. And we hope that when you're tempted to be lazy, that you'll remember there are people working really hard and giving sacrificially to let you do this. And we just want you to remember that. The third message is a message of representation. In many ways, you're going for us. You're going in our place. So I'll use the words of Paul in Philippians 4. Seek the fruit that increases to our credit as you go. Seek diligently for that fruit. You're fulfilling Christ's global mission, in one sense, on our behalf, so keep us informed. When you bring brothers and sisters into the family, when you conquer new lands for Christ, let us know, because we're sharing in that. And then the last message that we're sending tonight is that message of release. When the prayer's over and we say amen, we have to let go. We have to take our hands off of you. And when we do that, we're saying that we commit you to God's grace and care. Because ultimately, it's not about our support that will sustain you in Scotland. It's the fact that he will. And we know that. And so even though this is difficult, it's necessary. So I simply say, go in God's strength. Go in Christ's direction, under his direction, and go for his glory. So would you come and kneel now? Hopefully you're able to do that. And I'm going to invite you to come up. You're not all going to be able to have your hands on Joe and Becca, but what a beautiful picture that you would be linking arms with others who do, as a picture of what we're doing as churches. And so let's just do it this way. I think this would be best. If you're from Cross Point Community Church, this church that meets here, and you'd like to come up and be a part of this prayer, would you just come up right now? Just come up. Bashfulness is not a fruit of the Spirit. Just make your way up. And while you're doing that, can I say, as a pastor of a sister church to Cross Point, that this church, the generosity of this fellowship is a universal truth. And I want to publicly thank this congregation for all that you have done for so many, and especially Joe and Becca. And then we also have representatives here tonight from Riverbend Bible Church, our fellowship in Atchison. So if you're here from Riverbend Bible and you want to come up right now, and I just want to express publicly my love and affection for this group of believers and say just how much we've enjoyed and been blessed by Joe and Becca being among us. And then I think there may be some here tonight from McCarthy Baptist. I think there's a group that represents that church. And then standing here, I've forgotten the fourth church. Joe, help me out.
New Life.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, New Life Church. And as you come up, then others, individuals that are supporters, would you come up and would you put your hands on someone who's connected with Joe and Becca? And then as we're just getting in place for that, Matthew Spangler Davidson, who spoke to us earlier, is also a part of this prayer. And I want him tonight to represent some people whose names I hope that you'll remember. Mez McConnell is the director of 20 Schemes, and we want to remember him. But also two couples, Pete and Kara Bell, and Pete and Lindsay Stewart, who are going to be serving alongside of Joe and Becca. Let's also keep them in our hearts as we pray for them. Let's bow before the Lord right now and let me pray. And I'm looking at the words of Psalm 67 as I pray tonight. Our Father, we ask now that you would be gracious to Joe and Becca Bridgman and Kessid. Would you be gracious to them and bless them and make your face to shine upon them. Lord, do that beginning in the transition that's been ongoing and continuing in that, Lord, and in their travels on Friday and in their transition to Scotland, and then they're becoming a part of this team and joining this Mission 20 Schemes and adjusting, as we've heard tonight, to the new things of their new culture and their new home. Lord, be gracious to them and bless them. Lord, we pray that you would make them a blessing, that they would be a reflection of your face to the people that they'll be working with, to Pete and Kara and to Pete and Lindsay and to their families, to the others of 20 Schemes, and especially to the men and women, the children of this scheme outside of Glasgow at Ballinamore. We ask, Lord, that you would make your way known in that place through Joe and Becca. We want the peoples to praise you, O God. We want there to be a living Church of Jesus Christ there that Joe and Becca can be a part of, that where the peoples who once mocked you and laughed at you are now praising you. And we ask that you would use Joe and Becca to bring about that glory for your name. Lord, may the nations be glad and sing for joy. May that happen in Scotland throughout all of these schemes, and especially through the work that we're advancing tonight and praying and commissioning Joe and Becca. Lord, we know that you judge the peoples with equity, that no one escapes your judgment, that the only way any man or woman can stand before you is to know that their judgment has been taken at the cross. We pray that that message of the gospel would bring hope to the people in Scotland. We pray that you would guide the nations on the earth to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Lord, the earth has yielded its increase. You have blessed us. You have provided through these people that are standing here tonight and those they represent. You've provided funds to go. You've provided prayer support to sustain them. Lord, through family members here, you and church members, you have provided love and support and guidance to Joe and Becca, as Joe is so eloquently given testimony to in these last few moments. You have blessed us, and you will bless, Lord. And so we pray that through Joe and Becca, all the ends of the earth might come to fear your name. We pray this, God, so that you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the eternal God, might receive all glory as we continue to pray in the name of Christ, who is our strength and power. Amen. Thank you.
Let me just close us and send us out with this. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation about Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept silent for long ages, but now revealed and made known through the scriptures, according to the command of the eternal God, to advance the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever. Amen.